This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
You listen to Vectis Radio. It's 16 minutes away from 12 o'clock. Earlier on, we simplified Brexit and where we are and what we're going to be doing. And I've just been told the simplified story of Star Wars and what's happening. And I must admit, that's even more complicated than Brexit.
No, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. So essentially, every other year, you'll have a new episode of Star Wars being released. So last year, we had episode 7. Then 2 years' time from there, there'll be episode 8. 2 years' time from there, there'll be episode 9. So in 2017, episode 8. In 2019, episode 9.
But in between...
And then in between, you'll have other movies that are not Star Wars episodes, but they're within... They're not part of the Star Wars saga, but they're within the Star Wars universe. So this year, you have Rogue One, which is a story that's about how they got the plans for the Death Star. So chronologically, it's set before Star Wars episode 4. Then in the other year, so that'll be 2018, you'll have a Han Solo movie about Han Solo's adventures when he was younger.
Yeah, hang on, I saw him. he got killed last year, didn't he?
Some people might not have seen that film. Spoilers.
Well, if you haven't seen it, yeah, come on.
You should have seen it by now. Yeah.
Okay, no, but it's a young Han Solo movie. Yeah. So it's not going to be Harrison Ford playing Han Solo. It's going to be a guy called Alden Ehrenreich. And he's playing him when he was younger. So you're going to see him probably when he gets the Millennium Falcon, when he first meets up Lando Calrissian. This is way before he meets Princess Leia, so he can be with other women.
I'm going to focus on Brexit. I understand that better.
No,
anyway, just because obviously you're going to talk about Star Wars in a mo. Well, you haven't seen it yet.
No, it hasn't been released yet.
It's not, but it's going to come out the same time as last year, the last one. So it's going to be pretty much an annual thing.
Yeah.
Same week, same sort of day.
Essentially, ever since Star Wars got bought by Disney, that was last year, I think. So ever since Star Wars got bought by Disney, obviously, they know their marketing. They know how to print money, pretty much. So they went, right, cool, we're going to make some more Star Wars movies. But they pretty much decided we are going to own Christmas. So in December, for at least the next 4 years, I think, there will be a Star Wars movie out at Christmas. So last year it was episode 7. This year is going to be Rogue One. Next year is episode 8. Then the Han Solo movie. Then episode 9. And then God knows where they're going to stop.
Are you following this?
Yeah, I got that.
Explain it to me again later on, slowly. All right. Now we've only got we've got about 10 minutes to talk about what are we talking about? How many movies?
Okay, cool. I think at the moment I think I've watched 5, but I've got 4 down. There's one that's escaping me at the moment. But I have seen Arrival, so the movies, I've seen Arrival, I've seen Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is the movie set within the Harry Potter world. Your head's about to hurt, Macca. It's not a Harry Potter sequel. Harry Potter doesn't show up in it, but it's within the Harry Potter world. Are
right.
we good?
Yeah, you were good. But is it like before Harry Potter?
It is way before Harry Potter. It's the 1920s.
Oh, crikey, way before.
Yeah, 1920s New York. It's set in 1920s New York.
Wow. Did you enjoy it, first of all?
My tagline is, Fantastic Beasts are worth finding. Because it's actually a really, really good film. I mean, it's just the world that it's built. And I feel, because if you remember back to the first Harry Potter movies when they were released, so we're talking Philosopher's Stone and all that kind of stuff, because you had the books and everybody had this idea of what it was supposed to look like, what the guy who played Harry Potter was supposed to look like, and I think the films were held back by that because they know that everybody has this expectation. This is Harry Potter. We've loved him for so long. You've got to do this, and you've got to put that in there, and all that kind. But this film, because there's no book that was done beforehand, this is not an adaptation of a book. This is a whole new story. You feel like they're released a little bit. And I think the realization of 1920s New York is just brilliant. It's just really, really good looking. You got Eddie Redmayne playing a guy called Newt Scamander, who has this suitcase that has all these beasts in it. And it's going to say, this suitcase is like the TARDIS. So you go into the suitcase and it's a whole different world. And there's all these different magical creatures in there. And that bit's really, really cool. But he gets into New York. And when he gets into New York, there's some people who are going against wizards and are trying to like essentially like Salem witch trials that's going on, and then some of his creatures escape, and then they start wreaking havoc in New York, and that's going on, and there's something going on at the Ministry of Magic, the American version of the Ministry of Magic, where they're trying to find out like this, these magical things being released and destroying bits of New York, and that's going on. They're trying to make sure that human beings don't find out about the magic stuff and all that exists. And so there's quite a bit of stuff going on that doesn't quite come together. And it's almost as if you have one movie in which he's trying to find this beast. They have another movie in which bits of New York are being destroyed. I have another movie in which something else is happening, and it doesn't all quite come together. It's almost as if some stuff gets thrown away, or some stuff is just by the by, and then they set up this whole, oh, there's a new dark wizard that we have to worry about, and all. And you can see bits in which they're going to link it into the Harry Potter story. But for a first film, I actually really, really liked it. I really liked it. I thought it was great. It was worth watching. And there's things that you hope that the second time round they will iron out. But for a first go around, I'm really good, and I'm really, really impressed that they didn't just go and make another Harry Potter movie or make another Harry Potter sequel, because that is the dumb way of carrying it on.
Yeah.
That's just the way of, well, we want more money, so we're just going to put Harry Potter on it. And I think J.K. Rowling, she deserves some credit for thinking, no, we're going to do something different. We're going to go, like, is this about 80 years in the past before anything even comes in, before Harry Potter's even mentioned? So
do you think they've done this for a specific reason, gone back that far so that they could make X amount of films between now and they get up to... Do you know what I mean? Because if they'd have gone back to the 60s, you probably couldn't have made too many, could you? But going back that far, they've got loads of years.
I think it's because the whole idea is that Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the first time you ever heard that, it was this little booklet that J.K. Rowling wrote for Comic Relief. And it was just a random thing that she dreamt up. And then she decided to just, oh, maybe there's a story here or anything like that. And I think they went back that far because she thought it was interesting. I think first and foremost, that's why.
Right.
But I can guarantee you that there's somebody in the studio somewhere, one of the money men is sitting down there going, hang on, we've got 80 years to fill. That means we can make, like, you know, one movie for each year. And we can make 80 movies. And if 80 movies each make, like, you know, $300 million, oh my God, we got money. I bet you that there's somebody who's thinking like that.
And by that time, they would have sorted out Brexit, hopefully. Hey, we've got plenty of time to do it. We've got
7 minutes in that case.
Out of 10.
Out of five, Fantastic Beasts, I will give it 3.5.
Only 3.5?
I'll give it 3.5 because I quite enjoyed it, but there's some things in it that I'm not happy with, like how everything doesn't quite come together. How it tells you Fantastic Beasts, and so you're expecting Fantastic Beasts, and that's what it's all about. It isn't really about that, and then the main story that comes of the beasts don't really have anything to do with it. There's one of the beasts has something to do with it, a thunderbird called Frank. Awesome.
That was cool.
So there's things about it I really, really like. When I sit back and I look at the film, I'm thinking, yeah, but that bit didn't really... It's worth watching, and I would totally recommend anybody go watch it, but I'll only give it 3.5 out of 5.
Do you think that those bits that are a little bit sort of, not sure about that, are going to be explained in the next ones, and they've just given themselves a bit of scope there?
Oh, no, I think I'm just going to throw those bits away.
Yeah.
Probably. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's move on.
I think I'm going to go, forget about that. Now, this is the new story. This is what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, sure. Let's move on. What's next?
Okay, so now, Arrival. Now, this Arrival is hands down one of the best films that you will see all year. And it is a thinky film. So, some people might not like that because you have to think a little bit. And it's all about... So it's on the surface, it's an alien invasion film. So it's the idea, the film kicks off and people wake up and it's following this woman who's going, and she goes to university. She goes into her class to teach people, and there's only like 6 people there. And when she's going there, she can see that there's some commotion. Everybody's running somewhere, but she doesn't understand what's going on. Then one of her students says, please turn on the TV. They turn on the TV, and it turns out that these sort of like weird crafts have shown up and have like 12 places around the earth, and they're just hovering over these places. Not all of them are major cities. Some of them over major cities, some of them somewhere over the sea, all that kind of stuff. And it's not like in a big city, it's like somewhere in Montana in America. So it's not, and so they think, oh, these may be aliens. We're trying to figure out what's going on. And it turns out that they are aliens, but the government is trying to keep it hush. But everybody knows what's going on. Everyone is sort of panicking. And she's a linguist. So she does languages. And they say, our problem is we can't talk to these aliens because, unlike some other movies, these aliens don't speak English. So they don't speak English. They don't speak any language on Earth. We don't know how to talk to them. We need to figure out how to talk to them. So they bring her along with a physicist. They take her up into this into the alien spacecraft, and it's all about how do you come up with a language to talk to somebody in which you have absolutely nothing in common. You don't look alike. You don't point. They don't have fingers. You don't know. And the whole film is about trying to build this language to talk to the aliens. And that sounds... it's really, really impressive that they make that interesting, because that sounds like it could be a lecture about linguistics, but it isn't. And this film carries on like that. It draws the whole thing, and little by little you find out why the aliens are here. You find out what it is they're about, but you only find out as much as the people learn the language and the people learn how to talk to them. So it keeps you going, okay, what happens next? Why are they here? All that kind of stuff. All that. And then essentially, I love this one because what you think, every single revelation that they give you is awesome. Every single revelation, when you find out why the aliens are here, when you find out, oh, what that symbol means, when you find out, okay, because we have 12 of these things all around the world, so you have the ones, it's not like all these films where the Americans are the ones who are in charge of everything, because you have one in Pakistan, and the Pakistani people are trying to understand how to speak to their aliens. You have the ones in China who are trying to figure out how to speak to their aliens. You have the ones in Australia. You have them in Sudan. You have them all around the world, all trying to talk to each other. And all these places around the world are trying to talk to themselves as well to say, this is what we found out. And then obviously there's tensions between people who just want to blow the aliens out of the sky and people who are like, we can't do it because we don't know how powerful they are and all that. So I think it just brings I'll talk about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them and how it didn't bring all its strands together. Arrival brings them together masterfully. It brings them together masterfully, and at the end of the film, I think everyone's just sort of left going, oh my god, that's what this film's about. That is awesome. And I think it's the kind of film that you finish watching and you try and think back and you try and look for holes and all that kind of stuff, and you can't really find any. They had a story to tell. They told you the story, and it makes really good points about what it's like for us on Earth trying to communicate with each other, talk much less of trying to communicate with an alien race. At one point somebody says, look, the problem is this alien race has come to Earth and they want to talk to us as human beings. We don't have any one leader that they can talk to. We don't have any one language. We don't even like each other, and we have to try and converse with these aliens. So I think it does the best, like what the best sci-fi does is that it isn't really about the sci-fi. It's about us as human beings. It's about where we are in the world right now.
Okay.
And I think it's brilliant. And this is a film.
Out of five. Come on.
I'm going to have to go five.
Five? You don't give fives very often.
I've given a five once before. I gave a five for Inside
Out.
For Inside Out, I gave five for Inside Out.
That's worthy of a five.
Wow.
Yeah, and I gave Inside Out a five. And I think Arrival, I don't want to give it a five, but I can't really see any, because I don't think it's going to be everybody's cup of tea, because it's
a thinky film.
It's a thinky film. I was going to say intelligent, but that just sounds like I'm insulting people. But
I don't feel insulted.
So it's a thinky film, so it might not be everyone's cup of tea, but I think it's a great film.
Let's squeeze in one more.
Oh, A United Kingdom. A United Kingdom, this is a film based on a true life story of a man who was the king of Botswana when it was called Bechuanaland, back in the days of English colonialism, right after the Second World War. So he's been sent to London to study. He's a guy called Seret Sekama. He's sent to London to study because when he's going to study law, then he's going to come back and he's going to use it to make life better for his people in Bechuanaland, which is Botswana within South Africa, kind of. And while he's in London, he falls in love with a white woman, Ruth Williams, and he proposes, they get married, and then all hell breaks loose because this is Botswana, which is kind of essentially within South Africa. Its borders are within South Africa, and because in South Africa at that time, obviously you had the whole apartheid thing beginning to be put into, and you had all this racism where you had all the sort of white settlers who'd gone into South Africa, and they were like, okay, black people should be here, white people should be here, and they were heavily against the idea of this black African king coming in and living with a white woman on their, like, within on African soil, flaunting the fact that, yeah, we don't care about your apartheid laws in their face. And because at that time it was right after the Second World War, there was all this uranium stuff, and South Africa has a lot of uranium. The British government were essentially, South Africa pressured the British government to not let this marriage happen, to not let this guy come in and reign and all that. And because the British government wanted the uranium from South Africa, the British government started putting all these obstacles in the way of these people for being married, for ruling the country, for all these different things and all that kind of stuff. It's a film that will make you really, well, makes me, as a black guy, it makes me really, really annoyed about just the craziness of colonialism and all that. But it's, but at the same time, it's not just a film that just stands there and yells. It's not, it's actually, it's well made, has great performances, has a great story, has, like, you know, and it does it well. It does it well, and it's, I've heard some criticism that it presents all the British diplomats as, like, you know, sneery poshos who are like, no, well, Mr. Karma, I guess you have to be exiled from your country.
Is that wrong, though?
Yeah, like, they probably got them bang on, haven't they?
They got them right.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm with you there. Yeah. They got that right.
Look, we've run out of time, but it sounds like a good movie.
Four out of five.
My mum went to see it on Monday. She was she knew the story anyway because she's 83 and she
so she would have lived through it. Yeah,
yeah, and she said it's absolutely disgusting. She mentioned a court case that went on for about 5 years. Oh, they banned him from coming back home because she had a baby, didn't she?
And then, and the things that happened, and essentially it's one of the few films that puts Winston Churchill in a bad light.
Yes, she did mention that as well.
Yeah.
Hey, Tozy Wozy, thanks for coming in. 4 out of 5 for that one then.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you're coming in before Christmas or not, but I hope you do. We'll be here in 2 weeks' time if you want to come back.
Yeah, I'll come talk about Rogue One.
Two other movies there.
Yeah, I've got two other movies. I can talk about that and talk about Rogue One as well.
Okay.
Rogue One's released.
Thank you for coming in. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you in a couple of weeks. Brilliant. www.vectisradio.com